Shanti Deva's teachings lately, and I want to continue our discussion about anger. So we've been hearing about the wisdom of Shanti Deva and the path he presents, very powerful teachings. And you know, I have a confession to make to all of you. I have been in my life very angry, and still can be. Shanti Deva's teachings, as profound and as helpful as they are, said nothing to me when I first encountered them. That's changed, thank goodness. But as I listen to them, I still find holes. And that is what I'd like to talk about today. So when I listen to Shanti Deva, I hear a strong and radical teaching about not indulging or fanning the flames of personal corrosive anger. Not fighting fire with fire, we might say. Yeah. We encounter something and then we feel like we have to meet it in a certain way. We're talking about not losing our way in delusion and making things worse, right? But I also feel very strongly that such teachings can be used to silence or tame an energy that is needed. So this way of looking at anger today is one of transforming it. In my own youth, based on my own experience, I began to see clearly the systems, or at least a little bit, the systems of thought and action that support suffering. This was related to my personal life, but also broader. For me, it took the form of political action, bullhorns in the streets, organizing, marching, doing all I could to put an end to the badness that hurt so many people and other beings. What I learned in living out this kind of rather profuse anger was that the raw energy, even if it was satisfying at the time, was not going to lead to the goal that I so deeply wanted. It wasn't hate exactly, but it wasn't connected to thoughtful, effective movement towards freedom. In me, it was a kind of rigidity. It was not life-giving. It wasn't fun. It lacked stability, respect, empathy. In other words, it lacked in wisdom. In a Buddhist tradition, we call wisdom compassion and skillful means, right? You've heard this before. So wisdom is seeing clearly the nature of our reality. Compassion is realizing our shared existence and a deep sense of connection, interconnection, interbeing, as Thich Nhat Hanh so beautifully puts it, the practice of kindness that arises from that realization. And skillful means is dedication to finding the most inclusive and effective way to engage in our lives in the world. So for me, part of the being drawn to this was realizing that we were not going to change the world in a decade or two, and that humans, myself included, were fallible, that we often seek satisfaction and safety in ways that are at least likely to result in those very things. So encountering Zen teachings and practice gathered me up, challenged me in a way that was new for me, and somehow communicated to me that there was another way. But I have to say that the question that drove me then drives me still. Which is, what is this doing? Or originally it was the woman down the street, then I came to include men too. It tells you how deluded I was in the beginning. What is this doing for the person down the street that is suffering in fear and struggling to make it in a system that denies them their full humanity? So, as I entered the world of practice, I came to understand this as a kind of koan. And part of that koan is understanding anger. I didn't want to, nor do I want to, deconstruct or dissolve anger. But anger, in and of itself, in its diluted form, is certainly not the answer. It's not helpful. It's not sustainable. It's not effective. It doesn't do anything to undo the destructive system in which we live. So we have to take seriously the teachings of Shantideva and others and use them to understand who we are and how we engage in the world. And central to that is the fact that we live at a nexus of causes and conditions. We live in a diluted system. All past causes are present in this moment. All the ways our society has and does define individuals is present in this moment. Each of us inherits, so to speak, all the causes and conditions that have preceded this moment, and are completely free to act in brand new ways. And that's the good news of the Dharma, right? So to assume that we are simply individuals with isolated minds and hearts doesn't accord with the teachings. It says we are this interplay. We are this. We are the system. For example, if one's parents had access to home loans and were not subject to exclusion from schools and employment opportunities, this has a direct impact on how we experience the world, how we view the world, how we live in the world. Our skin color, our perceived gender, the way we dress and talk and act, all the circumstances, what country we're from, everything shapes the way we think, the way we act. So when we think about anger, we have to take this into account. If the world is telling you that you are not a valued and respected member of that world, any given instance of in which a word or an action confirms that is going to carry with it all of that past experience. One thoughtless or unjust act carries with it, like barnacles, all that has preceded it. So when I hear Shantideva say, since disrespect, harsh speech, and unpleasant words do not cause harm to my body, why, mind, do you become angry? I think, yes, absolutely, we need to look at that. And what about a racist slur that has the weight of hundreds of years of injustice and oppression? What about remarks about a woman's body or appearance, or someone insisting on using a gendered pronoun that does not fit the experience of the person they're speaking to and carries with it all of the pain and invisibility that person has seen? What about a child that is told that she's not college material, or a person in an abusive relationship whose very sense of self has been erased and they begin to believe the story they're being told? Is that not killing life? Should we simply deconstruct our response? So we must undo the power such words have over us. This is very clear, and Shantideva tells us very clearly how to do this. But I think we also have to provide an avenue to use that energy that raises up and says no. If we do not, we lose something very important, I think. So we are a system, and we must relate our experience and the experience of others to this system. To me, this is essential. Seeing in this way does not deny the need to address our individual anger or see it clearly and work with it in the way Shantideva and others describe, nor is it an excuse to express ourselves in unwholesome ways. But it does give us another angle, don't you think? Another way of working with anger that has made the most sense to me. In the Tibetan tradition, this is Vajra energy. It's a specific energy that we're working with. That on the diluted end is hate and violence, murder, bloodshed, disparagement, abuse, hate. On the other end, when we see clearly, when we're grounded, it's decisive action. It's clarity. It's stability. So to hate another is to turn them into an object, separate from oneself, and to pile delusion upon delusion. This sets up a condition in which it seems reasonable to do violence. Sneering arrogance, subtle forms of derision, petty irritableness. So to transform anger in all its forms, we have to taste the energy of it and let fall the delusions attached to it. When we do this, we can move our hearts and minds and our actions along a certain trajectory. We can move that energy from a diluted form, hate, violence, bias, to discriminating wisdom, the capacity to see and act with vigor. When I think of this, did any of you see the movie about Mr. Rogers? How many saw it? Oh, good. It's a really good movie, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Mr. Rogers is like the embodiment of kindness, gentleness, love, care. But did you see his eyes when they talked about child abuse? Did you see the fierceness in him? He had total access to this energy. Pew. I think of Emma Gonzalez after the Parkland shooting, or the woman in the Senate elevator challenging Senator Flake, demanding with great energy that the pain she experienced be heard. Right? I read a story recently. Judith Leaf, who's a wonderful Tibetan teacher, wrote about this luncheon she had with the Dalai Lama. So I'll read this very short story to you. She says, I was once at a lunch with the Dalai Lama and five other Western Buddhist teachers at Spirit Rock Meditation Center in Marin County, California. We were sitting in a charming room with white carpets and many windows. The food was delightful, fragrant vegetarian Indian meal. There were lovely flower arrangements on the table and gentle, graceful students serving the meal. We were discussing sexual misconduct among Western Buddhist teachers. A woman Buddhist from California brought up someone who was using his students for his own sexual needs. One woman said, "We are working with him with compassion, trying to get him to understand his motives for exploiting female students and helping him change his actions. The Dalai Lama slammed his fist on the table, saying loudly, "Compassion is fine, but this has to stop. And those doing it should be exposed." Judith says, "All the serving plates on the table jumped, the water glasses tipped precariously, and I almost choked on the bite of saffron rice in my mouth." Suddenly, I saw him as a fierce manifestation of compassion and realized that this clarity did not mean that the Dalai Lama had moved away from compassion. Rather, he was bringing compassion and manifesting it in decisive fierceness. Right? So this kind of energy is what we cultivate in deep stability and clear seeing. The Dalai Lama's no was not self-centered, hateful, or ill-timed. It was the fruition of wisdom and compassion. It was skillful means in that moment. So there's a Tibetan tradition. Another one, Shantideva, of course, is from the Tibetan, is mostly spoken about in Tibetan tradition. And this is based on how one would deal with a poison tree. The poison tree, of course, being anger. So the first avenue of response to such a tree is to trim it back over and over. In this way, we refrain from allowing anger to erupt. We take a step back. We take a deep breath. We recognize, I see this. And we're not driven by it. So we snip off the little sprouts of anger that are coming out. We are aware and we give ourselves space for other options. This is really difficult. Can be, because anger can feel really good. Right? I'm not angry, I'm right. Right? Or I knew someone who just would exude anger at times. And she said, "I'm not angry, I'm annoyed." Okay. But the "I'm not angry, I'm right." And then I believe it's in the AA tradition what they say. They say, "Would you rather be right or angry?" So if we think that working with anger means we lose that energy, we'll stop right there, maybe. But if we grow in our awareness of what this energy is, if we grow in our awareness that we are not it, we understand that awareness supports us to risk doing something different. It used to be thought in psychological circles that getting anger out was like there's this closed system and this pressure that builds, and if you get it out, it somehow relieves the system, right? And there certainly are times when it's good to let off steam in a circumstance in which your anger is not going to be inflamed. Sometimes you go to a good friend and you say, "Look, I just need to vent for a while," right? But you count on that person not to say, "Oh yeah, you know, that's really blah, blah, blah." So you both kind of build. But mostly we know that this habitual return to anger only digs deeper grooves in our psyche and makes it more likely that we'll return to deluded anger. So some space, this first dimension of working with the poison tree, is a very, very good thing. Just step off. Just prune that. Prune that. The second option is we can uproot the tree. So we begin to see anger more clearly. We question it. We look deeply at the causes and conditions that give rise to it, including our own part in creating and sustaining it. we come to know its shifting shape, its lack of solidity. This we can see Shantideva fitting very well into this dimension. How do we deconstruct it? How do we understand it? How do we loosen its grip? The third way we can talk about this is we can examine the tree with the idea that there may be some medicine in it. Every plant has some contribution to make. And often we don't, every plant, animal, every aspect, right? We're coming to learn this. Oh, yeah, I think we need bees. They may sting us, but I think we need bees. Not just for their own inherent beauty, but because they keep the system alive, right? So we can examine this tree with the idea that there may be some medicine in it. We can come to see the wisdom that can be discovered when we look carefully at anger. We can begin to see the Dalai Lama's no. And the thing is, this doesn't have to be perfectly done. The woman in the elevator talking to Senator Flake hadn't perfected her message, you know? She wasn't kind of calm and precise and dressed in just the right way. There was this rawness to it. There was something like, I want, look at me, she said, look at me. There's something raw about this, but there was no hate in it, right? If you listen to it. So when we look carefully, we can see what is harmful and what is of benefit. This is dependent upon deep curiosity, stability, 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 and humility. So it's not a way of rationalizing bad behavior. Have you heard that? You know, oh, well, I'm just being myself. I need to be able to be myself. Which, really? So this is where community is really helpful. Because it's like you have this anger, you're raw, you're working it out, and somebody says, no, that doesn't work for me. Or, that was unkind. Or, you know, in relationship, we can see how we can refine this energy. The last, the fourth way of working with this tree of poison is to eat it. We eat the tree. So this requires really great stability. It requires a metabolism that can digest the poison and turn it into nourishment. You know, it's amazing, some animals can eat the most amazing things and live, right, and thrive. But if we ate it, it would not be good. And that's what we're talking about here, is developing a metabolism with which we can eat the poison tree, and it becomes fuel for us. So we see anger as anger, we have humility, and we're able to act effectively. We can be fierce in the way the Dalai Lama was fierce, but there's no sense of destabilization or harm in it. And in this way, we don't have to have a fixed story. We don't have self-centered rigidity. We're not dominated by what one of my teachers called the tyranny of niceness. So we don't confuse compassion with niceness, with complacency, with compliance. Nor are we resentful. So these all work together, these different ways of working with anger, and they're not strictly sequential. So as we come to know how deluded anger subverts us, we can learn to step back, right? We learn that stepping back is not a detour on the path towards our aim. we come face to face with the ways in which we subvert our true aim, which is alleviating the suffering of ourselves and others, right? Where we don't indulge in grudges or rigidity or self-satisfying anger. So in each of these ways, our stability and wisdom and compassion grows, and that fierceness that the Dalai Lama demonstrates, or that is, we don't have to wait to be the Dalai Lama, right? We can be the woman in the elevator. We can be Emma Gonzalez. We can be Mr. Rogers. Although I think Mr. Rogers and the Dalai Lama are kind of like neck and neck, in my view. So this is another way of looking at the energy of anger. We do this within the context that we know we are within a system, and that this system has weight, tremendous power. And we're willing to have the humility of understanding ourselves within that system, working with the energies that we have. And when we do this, we've been talking about hakuins, is that so? We can have the stability of hakuin. Anything comes at us? Is that so? And then we act. We don't need to disparage. We have some access to peace and humor and appreciation of our life. But we're not bound by the deluded systems. We don't need to. We can act decisively within those deluded systems. So this is what we aim for in freeing, clarifying the energy of anger, so that we are sustained by the wisdom that's at its root, if we can just see clearly enough. Thank you.